You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Good afternoon, Internet World in Tuscaloosa. This is the Joe Gaither Show right here on YouTube, Twitter, on Spotify, Apple Music, Facebook, right here on BamaCentral.com as a part of the Bama Central Broadcasting Network. I'm Joe Gaither hanging out with you guys on a wonderful Tuesday. It's beautiful outside in Tuscaloosa today. I hope it's beautiful where you are this afternoon. I'm Joe Gaither. I want to encourage you to join in and listen to all of our Bama Central Broadcasting Network podcast, all things Bama and Blue Collar Unplugged. You can find those wherever you get your podcast, whether it be Spotify, Apple Music, any place where you find your podcast, you can find Blue Collar Unplugged and all things Bama. We're going to have a fun show today. I hope we're going to have a fun show today. We were going to be joined by a special guest, but he had to postpone. We will postpone and catch up with Christian Miller next week of Alabama football. He's got, you know, some personal life issues, some personal business things to handle. So we will let him handle his business and bring him back on next week to talk Alabama football with Christian Miller. Looking forward to doing that. So what we will talk about today, let's talk about the college football playoff. The College Football Hall of Fame right there in Atlanta. Let's talk about the College Football Hall of Fame. Let's talk about Super Regionals for baseball. Let's talk about the PGA Tour. Let's talk about the transfer portal as well. And then wild news a little bit outside of Alabama, but it'll touch our boy Justin Thomas. The PGA Tour and LIV Tour agreeing to merge today. So that's going to be what our slate will look like for today. We invite you to jump in and comment on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube. You can find me at JoeGaither6. Pretty much anywhere on all the social medias at JoeGaither6. So I appreciate everybody hanging out and joining us, telling a friend about the show, sharing it. Let's talk about some College Football Hall of Fame. All right, so yesterday, the College Football Hall of Fame announced its 2024 ballot. College Football Foundation and the College Football Hall of Fame announced its 2024 ballot, and it's an extensive list. It's got a who's who of college football. As you know, and as it should be, 78 player nominees, 78 players and 9 coaches from all of FBS. It's a who's who of nominees on the list. But what I want to talk about and what I want to get into, is, especially from an Alabama perspective, is really how it's a bit flawed to get into the College Football Hall of Fame. Because where are we on the list for College Football Hall of Fame, especially, like, basically what you see is the College Football Hall of Fame kind of works through era by era through its from its universities, depending on who's eligible. Eligibility is a big thing because it's kind of hard to be eligible. Eligibility is a big thing. Who is eligible? How many times, when your schools have been selected, that sort of thing. There's obviously only a certain amount of people who can get in each and every year. Let's look back at last year's class. Last year's class was what? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 players, 18 of the 20 players, and 4 of the 9 coaches got into 18 of the 78 players and 4 of the 19 coaches got into the College Football Hall of Fame. So it's very, very difficult to get into the College Football Hall of Fame. It's probably, honestly, the most difficult Hall of Fame to get into. I would submit that the NBA Hall of Fame, or the Basketball Hall of Fame, is probably kind of an easier Hall of Fame to get into. NFL, obviously different guys get passed over. But on the whole, The College Football Hall of Fame, I think, is the hardest Hall of Fame to get into. Last year's Hall of Fame class had zero Alabama players, despite having Sean Alexander, Antonio Langham, and Chris Samuels all being nominees. All right, you put up Chris Samuels, you put up Antonio Langham, and you put up Sean Alexander, and of course you have three Hall of Famers. I mean, let me be honest. Ask yourself, when you watch those players play in the early 90s and in the late 90s, were they Hall of Famers? Of course. Antonio Langham led Alabama, basically saved the SEC championship game. First round draft pick, All-American, SEC first teamer, career leader in interceptions at Alabama. Of course, Antonio Langham is a College Football Hall of Famer. And then you think about the same thing, Chris Samuels. I mean, paving the way for all kinds of great running backs in the late 90s. Outland Trophy winner, first-round draft pick, you know, top 10 draft pick, longtime starter for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Chris Samuels, basically, he might be on the all-time Alabama offensive line. He might play for, he's probably right there. If he's not on it, he's competing for the Alabama all-time offensive line. So come on, yes, Chris Samuels is a College Football Hall of Famer. Same with Sean Alexander. Sean Alexander should be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Well, Antonio Langham's been on the ballot for a couple of years now, for a handful of years now. You look now at the 2024 ballot, the current ballot that got put out yesterday by the College Football Hall of Fame and by the National Football Foundation, and Chris Samuels eliminated off the ballot. Sean Alexander eliminated off the ballot. You only have Antonio Langham on the ballot representing the University of Alabama. And granted, okay, I'm not going to be one of those Bama guys that says, oh, all 78 players needs to be Alabama, but let's start to think about this. Let's start to think about where we are in the annals and lores of Alabama. You have to be out of college football for 10 years to be considered on the college football ballot. A player becomes eligible. This is straight from the Football Foundation's website. A player becomes eligible for consideration by the foundation's honors courts 10 full seasons after his final year of intercollegiate football played. So, what by that logic? I mean, that's only one of the marks. There's about 6 different qualifications to be considered on the ballot. And finishing 10 years after you're playing is one of the marks. So if you take that into consideration and you consider where we are with Alabama football over the last really 31 odd years, Antonio Langham finished in 93. So really his eligibility began in 2003. So really you're at 20 years of eligibility for Antonio Langham. And you're going to get a massive logjam. You already have a logjam because if Chris Samuels and Sean Alexander can't get in because Antonio Langham is next up on the ballot to be considered, look, I'm not going to pass over Antonio Langham and call him not a College Football Hall of Famer and say let's get rid of him so that we can move on to the late 90s and move on to the early 2000s and then get into the Nick Saban era, because here's where we are. You're at 2023, and so you're most, you know, you can take the guys who finished in 2013. So you're talking guys like Mark Ingram, Heisman Trophy winner. You're talking guys like Julio Jones. Now, Julio Jones, unfortunately, is not eligible because I don't believe he was a first-team All-American or consensus All-American. There's really difficult metrics to get into the College Football Hall of Fame. There's really difficult metrics to get into the College Football Hall of Fame. My issue is you're starting to get a logjam of Alabama players. You look through Alabama guys, and I think you got 23 Alabama players. Alabama players are in the College Football Hall of Fame. I think there's 25. Yes, okay, 25. It was established in 51. It was 25. And the most recent being, I believe, was Sylvester Croom. Sylvester Croom was inducted in 2022 from Alabama two years prior as a center. playing in the 70s. And then 2 years prior to that, EJ Jr., linebacker in the 1980s. So, like, we're getting in. Prior to EJ Jr., it went six full years before an Alabama Crimson Tide football player got into the College Football Hall of Fame. Derek Thomas, well, God rest his soul. Great, great, great player. Of course he deserved to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. But here we are, 2024. It's now been 2 years since an Alabama player has been, yes, James, we will absolutely get into Jay Moynihan costing Justin Thomas here in a little bit. And Justin Thomas, you'll check out his social media. Goodness gracious, he got a ton of notifications this morning. Okay, so it's been 2 years since an Alabama player has been inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. And so... It's time to get one in. Antonio Langham has been on the ballot for far too long to be left out. It's time to get Antonio Langham into the College Football Hall of Fame and therefore move into the 90s, move into the era of, you know, 99, that great SEC championship team. I think Chris Samuels and Sean Alexander are absolutely College Football Hall of Famers. The problem is you don't want to get the 90s guys left behind. You don't want to get the 90s guys left behind because soon – you think about the Nick Saban era. The Nick Saban era is going to be chock full of you guys like Barry Jones, you guys like Rolando McClain, you guys like Dante Hightower. There's going to be so many guys in the Nick Saban era that belong in the College Football Hall of Fame that they need to really make a focus on, you know, wrapping up the Alabama players in the 90s so that, you know, because right now you already have that early, you know, the Nick Saban 2008 class is eligible. The 2009 class is almost eligible, really, is gonna be eligible next year. So you're starting to stack up this early part of the Saban dynasty. And you're still stuck on the Gene Stallings era. You're still stuck in the Stallings era as the College Football Hall of Fame inducting players in. I don't know, there's not going to be much to speak about with the mics and such in the 2000s, but the College Football Hall of Fame, yes, they do have a difficult job. Yeah, they have a difficult job chronicling college football. They've only been around since 1951, and so you had to catch up, 50-something years. It's not an easy job, but as a whole, you know, we realize Alabama football is what, number one, number two, number three as far as college football blue bloods programs across the history of college football. You're right in there. So we need to come on, chop chop, catch up on the College Football Hall of Fame side of things so that the Nick Saban era does not get left behind. All right, so we put that right aside, and we encourage you to, you know, celebrate Antonio Langham getting nominated again. He's on the ballot again. Other notable names, we'll just run through this real quick. Other notable names, SEC names, or Alabama-centric names. Eric Bieniemy, Colorado running back, Washington Commanders offensive coordinator now, getting nominated for his days at Colorado. All right, Greg Carr, Auburn linebacker, 1984. Here we go. Dallas Clark, Iowa tight end. You knew him playing with the Indianapolis Colts. Tim Couch, Kentucky quarterback. One of his actually interesting things, one of his blurb things is 98 SEC Player of the Year, who led the Cats to their first win over Alabama in 75 years. I mean, that just goes to show the significance of Alabama. Like, one of your blurbs is you helped Kentucky beat Alabama in a historic game. Like, congratulations. That's great. Willie Gault, Tennessee wide receiver, 1982. Let's see. Dan Hampton, Arkansas defensive tackle, 1978. So there's still a lot of Leotis Harris, Arkansas offensive guard, 1977. Garrison Hurst, Georgia running back, 92. Josh Heupel, Oklahoma quarterback. There you go. In the early 2000s, obviously now the Tennessee head coach is on the list as well. Here we go. Brady James, LSU linebacker, 2002. There's your Nick Saban player. Ed King, Auburn offensive guard. So look, these other, here we go. There's Antonio Langham, Alabama defensive back. John Lee, UCLA, Mississippi, Michael Orr, Ole Miss offensive lineman, the blindside fame is listed on here as well. Larry Sivers, Tennessee wide receiver, Richard Seymour, Georgia defensive back, Kelvin Smith, I mean, you're not in the SEC then, but Kevin Smith, Texas A&M corner, Takiyo Spikes, Auburn linebacker. I mean, Auburn is all over this list. Auburn is on this list at least three times now. Come on now. Auburn on this list three times now, and you're going to reduce Alabama to just the one name and Antonio Langham. I mean, look, Antonio Langham is a great name. Literally, as I said earlier, saved the SEC championship game. But this is a little bit of a problem. I don't know. I really hate the term Alabama bias. I really, really hate it because I don't feel like that's a I don't feel like that's a real thing. But maybe it is. You're seeing a handful of Georgia players on the list, a handful of Auburn players on the list, many SEC teams represented on the 2024 College Football Hall of Fame ballot, and we'll see in the next coming months who actually gets in. But it is time. It is past time. It's past time for our boy Antonio Langham to get into the College Football Hall of Fame. I'm ready to see that name get in so that we can move on to the Nick Saban era.
Hey everybody, happy June. Hey everybody, happy June.
That's right. It is a happy June. It is a happy June, and so we'll put the College Football Hall of Fame talk to bed real quick. Let's move into the next weekend. Let's touch on, this won't be a long talk on Alabama baseball because we hit it hard yesterday and we'll continue to hit it hard over the next, as long as they stay alive. But just to kind of give you an update, Alabama is taking on Wake Forest this weekend in the Super Regionals, and the times have been released. So Alabama is playing. Well, we're playing a Saturday, Sunday, Monday set. We're playing a Saturday, Sunday, Monday set, not a Friday, Saturday, Sunday set. So Alabama gets an extra day rest. Great, cool, that's great. Alabama is playing on Saturday at 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, it'll be, you'll be able to see it on, it'll be on the ESPN family of networks. Obviously, our guys, Will Miller and Austin Hannon, will be covering Alabama and Wake Forest. But it'll be at 11 o'clock on Saturday for a Saturday, Sunday, Monday three-game set. So if you sit down on Friday looking for Alabama baseball, don't be disappointed. You're not going to see them. They're not playing on Friday. They're playing Saturday morning, Saturday at 11. A little bit different from this past weekend where they played all three games in the deep into the night, the 8 p.m. slot on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It'll be Saturday, Sunday, Monday in the early slot. Jason Jackson, meeting with the media, meeting with Will Miller. You can read his report on BamaCentral.com from earlier this morning. Jason Jackson, it's going to be a really good weekend of baseball, he said. You've got two really deep pitching staffs going at it, two really good offenses. You look at their numbers and they jump off the pages at you. You look at our numbers are pretty good too. I love my guys. I ain't trading them for anybody. I can tell you that. Garrett McMillan, it's a big opportunity to go to the College World Series at any point to be playing the number one team. It sets you up when you go there to make a good run at it. So, look, we're not going to be Alabama is not going to be afraid of anything. I know it's the number one team in the country, but Alabama has taken on the who's who in the SEC throughout the year. We've chronicled it on the show so far. You can go back and listen to any episode that you want on Spotify, Apple Music, right there on my YouTube, on my Facebook, and on my Twitter page. Andrew Pinckney quotes, "The game's still 27 outs. They still have to get us 27 times, and the team that plays the best is going to make it to Omaha." That's kind of how I'm looking at it. Jason Jackson again, "You feel like playing in the SEC that you're playing a Super Regional every weekend. You're not tight. You're like, of course it's 3-3 in the sixth inning. This is what it always is. You wait for somebody to get that big hit or make that big pitch, and then you can get that can put you on top. Going through the league helps with that stuff." So that's really a great mindset for the weekend for the guys going up to Winston-Salem to take on Wake Forest. I'm looking forward to looking forward to seeing what it is. The rest of the matchups, the rest of the weekend, look, Friday you have South Carolina and Florida.
Oh, SEC, SEC. All right. Duke, Virginia, Oral Roberts, Oregon, Indiana State, and TCU. Those will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. Great to see, a couple SEC teams matching up. Then Saturday, obviously, we'd hit Alabama at Wake Forest. Texas is at Stanford. Kentucky is at LSU. Another SEC on SEC crime matchup. Tennessee is at Southern Miss. So those are the four Saturday, Sunday, Monday matchups. So obviously, the eight teams that win those two out of threes will make it to Omaha, and we are hoping that, oh my gosh, if Alabama is one of those teams, we'll go stupid on the show. That'll be wild, that'll be crazy, and we will have a lot of fun, really a lot of fun with that. All right, so let's put a pin in the baseball discussion, because we'll save a lot of that for later in the week.
Hey, everybody, happy June.
Let's talk transfer portal, and then we'll wrap it up with golf, with the major news that happened in golf today and how it relates to our boy Justin Thomas. But let's talk transfer portal. Look, on Three Sports, we love them. They do such great work. Matt Zenitz is a machine over there. I don't think he's a human. He covers college football recruiting and transfer portal like it is his life, and really it is his life. I don't know that the man sleeps, but obviously, the spring transfer portal window has come and gone. Alabama saw two defensive backs and a tight end of inconsequence transfer out. No disrespect to those three guys, but they did transfer out. Tuaquan Fagans, goodness gracious, Jaquiz Robinson and Elijah Brown. Yes, transferred out. Hope you have great careers, guys. Good luck to you. But we also saw three guys transfer in, two defensive backs and a quarterback. And so on Three Sports has taken the comings and the goings of all the teams in the transfer portal, and they have ranked who did the best in the spring transfer portal window. All right, we're going to break it down right here. We'll go quickly through the top 10, and then we'll kind of discuss in a little more in-depth a couple of these names. All right, from number 10, good job, Matt Zenitz. You did it with some OLIs. There's 5 outside-looking-ins. Number 5, outside-looking-in in no order, Ohio State, Colorado, Tulane, Oregon, and California are your top 5 outside-looking-in of programs who did the best in the transfer portal window. Look, you all know that Colorado ran off like 50-something guys. Deion Sanders said, get the bleep out of here. I think that that's a very risky strategy for Deion Sanders. But, you know, I honestly think it's very good. You don't waste any time. You look around. You look at the landscape of your team. You say, these guys are not up to snuff, and I don't want to waste their time or my own time keeping them on the roster. Yes, it may be a bad 2023 season, but it sets up for a better future. So he dismissed a bunch of guys. They got some guys in as well, and we'll see if it works out for him. All right, so number 10, LSU, the LSU Tigers. Look, the SEC is going to be littered all throughout this list, and the number 10 is LSU Tigers. Number 9, Arkansas on the list. Number 8, Miami. We know Mauro Cristobal and Mr. David Ruiz. David Ruiz, I believe, is the crypto man, the cigar box NIL man. Ruiz is running the Miami program, really. Miami at number 8, Louisville at number 7, Florida State at number 6. Here we go, Alabama, the Alabama Crimson Tide at number 5. Number 4, Ole Miss, Lane Train, Lane Kiffin transfer to the SIP. You see him with those sweatshirts all the time. Number 3, SMU. Number 2, Lincoln Riley for the second year in a row. USC hammering the transfer portal to hopefully compete in the Pac-12. And number 1, oh my gosh, gross. Number 1, the Auburn Tigers. The Auburn Tigers. Okay, that's terrible. All right, let's go through this, just the SEC schools. All right, LSU, the biggest LSU spring portal additions. They found Notre Dame transfer Logan Diggs, Louisiana native. Really might probably be the LSU starting running back, and that's the crown jewel that lands LSU on number 10. So watch out, Notre Dame transfer Logan Diggs landing in Baton Rouge. All right, number 9, Arkansas. Arkansas got defensive lineman Tank Booker over South Carolina and Maryland, and they also got linebacker from Cincinnati Jaheim Thomas edging out Auburn, Wisconsin, and Florida for Jaheim Thomas. Jaheim Thomas recording 70 tackles for Cincinnati last year, and then they also got from a smaller school guy, North Texas All-Conference tight end Verquez Gums. So look, good on you, Sam Pittman, adding through the transfer portal. We move up to number 5. Oh, this is our Alabama Crimson Tide, and we all know what the Tide added. Did the Tide add starting quarterback? Did the Tide add a starting quarterback, Tyler Buchner, in the transfer portal? We'll find out over the summer if Buchner can beat Jalen Milroe, Ty Simpson, and the other two freshmen. We also added Jalen Key and Trey Amos into the mix. I'm expecting to have a reporter from the University of Louisiana join me pretty soon to talk about Trey Amos. Both, I think Jalen Key's going to see a lot of playing time. I think Trey Amos is going to work to see a lot of playing time, and they're going to really secure the defensive backfield. I'm excited to see how they fit in. I'm really excited to see if Tyler Buchner makes any noise as the starting quarterback. You continue to roll up. Oh, Ole Miss at number 4. Look, Ole Miss landed, six four-star transfers over the winter and spring season. Look, they got edge Isaac Okuwa. They got Tulane cornerback Jaden Kennedy. They got UCF cornerback Justin Hodges. They got, you guys know this name, Stephon Wynn. Used to play defensive line at Alabama, then transferred to Nebraska. You get a receiver from Shane Hooks. Look, they hit it hard. They got it. Chris Marshall, receiver from Texas A&M. So I think that this is Lane Kiffin's game. Lane Kiffin doesn't love to hit the recruiting page, but he loves the transfer portal. And Lane Kiffin, I think that I think it's certainly a strategy, and I do think it's a smart strategy, hitting the transfer portal, scouting guys who have already seen college football, and Lane Kiffin trying to stay relevant. You're not really going to always recruit the best of the best to Oxford, but I think out of the transfer portal, offering transferees opportunities in the SEC in Oxford with the lovely ladies over there in the Grove, I think is a very, very good strategy for Lane Kiffin, and it seems to be paying off for him. Then you go up, okay, we'll hit on number 2, even though they're not in the SEC because of all the SEC ties. USC, Lincoln Riley, look, they added Georgia defensive lineman Bear Alexander. He was like a 5-star prospect. He ended up playing in a couple of games this past year. They add Bear Alexander. That's a huge get. But really, the Alabama connection is they got our guy Traquan Fagans. Traquan Fagans transferring out, cornerback out of Thompson High School. They got our guy Traquan Fagans. And, okay, you say, okay, maybe Traquan Fagans was buried on the depth chart, but the real maybe problem or the real cost for Alabama is they also, on the same day, the same week of securing Traquan Fagans, they pulled in safety Anquan Fagans, his brother, little brother, class of 2025, 5-star recruit out of Thompson High School. I believe, yeah, he's a rising junior. The kid's going to be a stud. So, yeah, you get Traquan Fagans, and then maybe he's going to be a ball player for USC. Maybe he's going to get out there and make an impact on their immediate team. But they also really snaked one from Alabama, really snaked one from the Southeast in Anquan Fagans, getting a 2-for-1 in the transfer of Anquan Fagans. And then lastly, oh my gosh, our rivals down in West Georgia, the Auburn Tigers. Look, We'll find out. Hugh Freeze basically said from the jump, I'm looking for a quarterback. Well, he goes in the transfer portal and finds Michigan State's Peyton Thorne. Peyton Thorne and several others, they landed eight transfers, and as many as Matt Zenitz is estimating 4 or 5 of them could end up starting quarterback Peyton Thorne and Appalachian State edge rusher Jalen McLeod. So look, App State, McLeod posted 6 sacks last year, but really and truly, it's all about Peyton Thorne. If Peyton Thorne can step in at Auburn and deliver the kind of offensive production or deliver the kind of quarterback play that Hugh Freeze needs to make his offense run, his offense isn't overly complicated. You've seen that throughout his time across college football. But what he is an what he's excellent at is timing and pacing and setting up offensive plays. Hugh Freeze is adept really just controlling your eyes and movements. And so if Peyton Thorne can really step in and operate his RPO schemes and operate his run first, his play action passing game, that spells trouble. That spells trouble because I think if Hugh Freeze doesn't have an adept quarterback this year, if it is just the young man from Hoover who's running around out there, then I think that Auburn's might be a 6-7 win football team. But if they get quality quarterback play, they're going to test every team in the SEC West, and Hugh Freeze will have them in every single game. But if they end up having to play Robbie Ashford because he is the most dangerous player, then I think Auburn, their fan base needs to find some patience. And really just accept that it might be a long season. But Peyton Thorne, look, I'm nervous about watching Peyton Thorne. I think that he's a quality transfer, and I think that he can really make Hugh Freeze's offense go. So you kind of worry about what he's going to end up being in the transfer portal. It'll be interesting to see where Auburn gets seated with SEC Media Days after the transfer portal ease, after the transfer portal movements coming and going. We'll see. Will Auburn still be slotted in the West, last in the West? I don't believe so. But I think they're going to surprise some people this year with Peyton Thorne.
Hey, everybody. Happy June. Hey, everybody. Happy June.
Oh, you're right, Andrew Luck. It is a happy June. It's June 6th. I love everybody who's watching us. I appreciate everybody who's watching us on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, or right there. You can listen to us on Apple Music, on Spotify, any place that you get your podcast. We appreciate everybody hanging out and listening to us. Want to encourage you again to listen to all of our Bama Central Broadcasting Network podcasts and all things Bama. And Blue Collar Unplugged. You can hear our guys Matthew Gibson and Blake Byler on Blue Collar Unplugged. We'll have our guy Blake Byler join us on Thursday. Blake is Blake's really following this Grant Nelson thing. Grant Nelson is Grant Nelson transferring out of North Dakota State, allegedly, apparently, is not visiting Baylor. If you've been watching the basketball transfer portal, you know Alabama is in the market for several post players. Anybody who could play the forward position. Are you 6'11"? Can you put the ball in the hoop? You come to Alabama and play for us. So, yeah, Blake Byler is going to be joining me on Thursday to talk about all the Alabama basketball roster movements and to kind of give us the latest on Grant Nelson. Hopefully, man, if Grant Nelson comes to this team, yes, Nate Oates, do it again, baby. Do it again. So we're looking forward to hearing from Blake Byler. Also, going to hear from our man Ronnie Cottrell, Mobile Christian High School, tomorrow. He's going to join me tomorrow to talk about Deontay Lawson and to talk about Sterling Dixon, his current linebacker who's committed to the University of Alabama. So looking forward to seeing Ronnie Cottrell. And on Friday, we're going to talk to Will Sanders. I just got that confirmation yesterday. Will Sanders is a class of 2024 offensive lineman out of Brookwood High School, right here about 15 minutes away from my home, Brookwood High School. Brookwood Panthers. Will Sanders got an offer from the University of Alabama, got an offer from Louisiana LSU. So Will Sanders is getting a lot of recruiting love, and we'll talk to him, get to know him on Friday. So looking forward to us kind of seeing that. All right, so let's wrap up the rest of the program. Let's wrap up the rest of the program with kind of bigger news. Bigger news that's not necessarily Alabama-centric. It is PGA Tour. Look, if you don't know me, if you haven't listened to me in the past, you will know that I enjoy golf. I am terrible at golf. I love to play, but I am terrible. I am shooting right around a 100, 110, right in that range. I love to play. I'll play with you anytime. I'll play fast, so I won't slow you down, but I'm not that good. I find it fascinating to get out there in my past peak athleticism. What? Ooh, my average Andy athleticism. But I can still hit the golf ball and, you know, feel athletic and kind of get that competitive itch. I love to play golf. I love to watch golf from time to time. So look, LIV Tour and PGA Tour really fascinated me. Really. Because I, before the birth of LIV, I was a, hey, I'll watch the majors. I'll watch the Masters. I'll watch the US Open. I'll watch the Open Championship and the PGA Open. PGA Championship. I will watch the four majors, but I really won't pay attention to the game of golf outside of that because, look, I'm not one who's watching the RBC Heritage Open. I'm not one. I mean, I will watch the Waste Management because it's a lot of fun. But, like, the typical weekend PGA Tour event, I was not sitting there watching the events. I wasn't. I would, you know, see the highlights on SportsCenter if somebody made a hole-in-one or hit a great shot. I'll see the four-minute package on ESPN and realize, oh, Rory, you won. Oh, Scottie Scheffler, you won. Oh, you know, whoever wins. But I wasn't quite into it. When LIV was born, now 2 years ago, LIV was born 2 years, right about 2 years ago now, I was like, this is cool. This sounds super cool. LIV is coming in to challenge the PGA Tour to try to reinvigorate the game of golf, and I was sucked in for two reasons. I was sucked in for, one, the changes that LIV brought to golf, but two, I was sucked in because of how off-put LIV PGA Tour was. If the PGA Tour had just come in and said, you know what, a new tour has started, some of our guys are leaving, it is what it is, we're continuing with our business, I don't think I would have been as sucked into the drama that were between the two tours, that were between the two the rival players, everything. Not as much on the fan side. I think for the fan side it was just a bunch of intrigue, but just the arrogance. Jay Moynihan. Have you ever had to apologize for being on the PGA Tour? Not like, come on, Jay Moynihan. You guys have a PGA Tour in China. You got a PGA Tour in Saudi Arabia. You got PGA Tours in the Middle East. Look, you've got many tours in countries who are doing, you know, maybe not so great things on the human rights front as well. I know that Saudi Arabia. Look, I fully understand the connection between Saudi Arabia and 9/11. Tragedy, horrible, disgusting, awful, awful connection. And I remember that day very vividly. But let's just step back and be sports fans. LIV Golf really, really invigorated the game of golf, but because of the drama that it infused. LIV Golf brought the PGA Tour out of the country club, in my opinion, and onto the main screen. Now, I don't know. I know that LIV Golf, you can't see them on the main screen if you don't have the CW. And where the hell is the CW on my TV guide? I understand. Well, today, if you haven't seen the news, the PGA Tour and LIV Golf have announced a deal that they would kind of move forward as partners, despite all the mudslinging back and forth between the two tours. And really, all the mudslinging has come from Jay Moynihan and Rory McIlroy. So it's just fascinating to see them realize, oh gosh, the money is better when we work together. You've seen the PGA Tour respond to LIV over the last year with some larger purses, a couple of no-cut events. Look, I'm a fan of the cut. I understand you got to play well on Friday and Saturday to get to play on Saturday and Sunday. I'm a fan of the cut, but I'm also a fan of, hey, maybe this weekend there's no cuts. We're just going to see where it falls. You're playing all four rounds, or in the LIV case, all three rounds. You're going to play all. If you're blowing up, if you're a plus 10 through two rounds, hell, you have to go back out there, and maybe you go plus 15, plus 20. I would like to see how bad it gets, because for me, I'm out there plus 30, plus 40. I want to see how bad it gets. I enjoy the no-cut events, but I also recognize the value of a cut. Look, you need a cut for an event like the Masters. You need cuts for your majors. You need cuts for certain events, certainly. I recognize the larger purses. The larger purses, look, you're gonna give me more money for fewer shows? Heck yes, I'm doing that. I mean, I love to do these shows, but if you're gonna tell me, hey, you get more money for fewer, I'm all in on that. What's the problem for that as far as the labor standpoint? If you got more money for fewer days at work, you would be all about that. I'm sure you love your job to a certain degree, but you would be all about that. And then you get the fewer, you know, the PGA Tour. Look, I love to play golf. I do love to play golf. But I realize that playing golf over multiple days or playing golf over multiple weekends in a row can deteriorate your game. There's no problem with taking a little bit of a break. There's no problem with taking a little bit of an off season. I know the PGA Tour had not had really an off season in the past. LIV Golf created, really pushed them into having kind of a better calendar for the players. I get that, and I understand that there should be some grinding that goes into the tour. But if you're qualified, if you have your PGA Tour card. Look, I get you're flying across the country, but you ought to have your expenses covered a little bit by the tour. Now, you probably can't go out there and blow your budget, but come on, PGA Tour, LIV Golf did great things for PGA. LIV Golf did great things for the average PGA golfer. LIV Golf did great things for the golfers coming up. LIV Golf did great things for the golfers who are playing college golf right now. LIV Golf, whether you like the Saudi Arabian involvement or not, whether you care about sports washing or not, LIV Golf has bettered the game of golf. And Jay Moynihan, look, today, I have already felt like you are a soft, slimy, not very honest person in the media. You've kind of come off as whiny. You've come off as... very arrogant and stubborn over the last 2 years. Well, today you come off even worse. Today you come off even worse because you've said, oh, how many times have you had to apologize for being on the PGA Tour? It's just disgusting. It's just disgusting how you back and sit in the corner of the 9/11 protesters, the 9/11 families. You use their you use their outrage, you use their heartbreak, really, and their legitimate heartbreak to throw stones at LIV Golf, and then secretly you're in back rooms dealing with them. You're in back rooms shaking hands, and just unbelievable. You're talking about you're slamming these golfers, you're slamming the Brooks Koepkas, you're slamming the Phil Mickelsons of the world. You're slamming all these guys who are going to the LIV Tour for taking the money. Look, dude, if a rival publication is going to offer me millions of dollars, I'm gone. I'm going to go take it. And it's just unbelievable that you're going to slam these guys for taking a smart business deal for their families. And then what? 2 years later, you're gonna be right back in their pockets. Because let's be honest, let's all be fair. LIV Golf, I'm sure, is probably the primary partner here. Is probably has the money, has the greater financial backing. They have the leverage. Jay Moynihan did this because I think he realized, oh my gosh, if this 2 year trend continues over 10 years. Look, LIV Golf, they may be playing on cruddy golf courses right now in Texas, but a 10-year span, they've had this level of growth over 2 years. What happens in 10? Look, I think PGA Tour was trying to save their own bacon. Now, what this is? The problem? Look, they offered Tiger Woods $200 billion. $200 billion! Wasn't it? $200 million? It was something insane. It was 200. Oh gosh, Justin Thomas, you're a PGA loyalist, and I appreciate Justin. I appreciate Justin for Justin said his piece when this all began, and then focused on golf. Got out of the media, stopped really talking about it. Focused on golf. Yes, Justin was in the Rory camp. Justin was on the PGA Tour's camp, talking about prestige, this, that, and the other. And Justin, I don't have any issue with anything that Justin's done over 2 years, other than putting. Golly, the man can't putt worth a dang right now. But Justin, Justin did what he needed to do. I think he stated his piece, oh, I'm going to stay loyal to the PGA Tour. I think it's more prestigious on the PGA Tour. I think it's better for your legacy to win on the PGA Tour. And then he got back to playing golf. Rory, on the other hand, has been crying all throughout these 2 years, and his game's gone in the tank. I mean, his game, yes, he's still competitive, but he's just not consistent. Very recently, he came out talking about how, oh, it would be nice to have a couple of weeks off to refine your game, to get into the, to focus on the mechanics, to focus on the fundamentals. Phil Mickelson is right today. Brooks Koepka is right today. LIV Golf is right today. And the PGA Tour and all its supporters, all its arrogant supporters, end up being in the wrong. I think it's absolutely asinine for all these PGA Tour people to have, you know, carry themselves the way they've carried themselves for 2 years. Oh, we don't want to take the sports washing money. We have morals. Oh, we don't want... But they're already in bed with governments across the world. They're already in bed with governments throughout the... And they're messing with the world golf rankings. They're keeping guys out of... They're trying to keep guys out of the U.S. Open. They're trying to keep guys out of the PGA Championship. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. All the while publicly saying what they've said, but... privately dealing with LIV Golf and now today announcing a partnership. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, so we had a lot of fun today, and that's kind of how I feel. Look, I'm pro golf. I'm pro fun. I'm pro business. I'm pro everything. I'm pro the player. I think LIV Golf was pro player. I'm pro the transfer portal. Going back to our earlier conversation, I hope that Alabama, Alabama being ranked number five for transfer portal rankings is pretty good. I think you combine that number five ranking with a top recruiting class, and you're still rocking and rolling. And then I'm looking forward to a Saturday baseball matchup out there in Winston-Salem. Wake up. It's going to be 11 a.m. on Saturday, Sunday, Monday for the Alabama Crimson Tide up there in Winston-Salem. So we had a lot of fun on the program today. I want to encourage you to follow Bama Central at Bama Central on the Twitter machine. I want to encourage you to check out all of our work at BamaCentral.com, Sports Illustrated affiliate. And I appreciate Chris Walsh for putting me on each and every day. You can follow him at Writing Walsh on the Twitter machine. He's always putting out great content for BamaCentral.com, usually writing all things crimson white for us and many, many, many more columns. Chris Walsh is the man. Look, you can follow all of our friends. We're going to send Will Miller and Austin Hannon up to Winston-Salem this weekend. Follow Austin Hannon at Austin Hannon SI and at Will Miller at Real WB Miller. I am at JoeGaither6. You can send me all your comments, questions, queries, and complaints right there. We will remind you that we will have Ronnie Cottrell of Mobile Christian School join us tomorrow. Ronnie Cottrell. We'll have Blake Pyler of Alabama Central joining on Thursday. And we'll have Will Sanders, class of 2024 offensive lineman from Brookwood High School, join me on Friday. So it's going to be a fun rest of the week. We'll be filling the rest of the week with our guests, so we'll have great conversation. I appreciate everybody who joined me on Facebook today. My cousin James and my boy Joe Will joining me on the Facebook comment side of things. You can always comment on Facebook or listen to us on Spotify, Apple Music. Share the stream, share the podcast with a friend, any Alabama fans or Alabama haters. We love them all, and we love you. For Joe Gaither, hey, that's me. For the listener, that is you. It's been a fun Tuesday, goodness gracious, on the Joe Gaither Show, and we hope you guys have a great day. We'll be back and talk with you tomorrow. Have a great day. Roll Tide, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. Happy June.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech. You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.